Today on The Breakdown, anyone can do this. It's as simple as walking and falling down, man. Accuse someone of cheating you. Pressure them into giving you a bunch of money. Take about a year, year and a half off. Come back to wild acclaim. That is one way of framing Garrett Edelstein's journey. I wouldn't frame it that way, actually, at all. I think he was cheated. I think Robbie gave him back the money voluntarily. I think it's fine he took some time off, and it's cool that he's back. But a lot of people are saying things like that. I know a lot of you listeners, in your cold, dark heart, think these things. You don't say them out loud, but you think them, because I can see through you. You are translucent to me. And in this hand, it's a cash game hand with Patrick Antonius, Eric Person, and yes, the aforementioned Garrett Edelstein. Garrett's back, baby! And he's come to show everyone a good time on The Breakdown with Grant Dennison and Jonathan Levy.
Hey,
first time no rehearsal.
I mean, in some ways, right? He's an entertainment. He's an entertainer, sort of.
He's a poker player who he's definitely an edge seeking poker player.
Yeah, but
based on
like,
everything that came out after he stopped playing on Hustler Casino about how he like was setting the lineups and veto power and all that stuff.
So not I guess yeah, some people might argue like Dan.
If he was an entertainer, he would be like, let's play Phil Ivey heads up for $1 million. That would be an entertainer.
I mean, he's going on TV. So he's sort of an entertainer.
He's only going bum hunting on TV. He's a legendary
bum
hunter.
He's playing against some of the best players in the world. Patrick Antonius and Eric Person are both at this table.
Nice.
Mentioned without comment.
let me ask you a legitimate question. Is Garrett Edelstein, by volume of money, the most legendary bum hunter of all time in poker?
Definitely not. There's definitely much bigger games where this kind of stuff is happening, for sure.
Where the pro gets to set the lineup and has veto power?
I mean, I saw Dan Negreanu make a case in a YouTube short to Lex Friedman about Dan Blazarian. Boy, am I mentioning a lot of names right now. Dan Blazarian claims to have won like $100 million playing poker.
Yeah.
And Negreanu's like, he absolutely could have done that because he's playing against like these horrifically bad super rich guys. Like, and no one good gets in the games. Like, for sure he could have done it. So if that's even sort of true, then well, Dan Blazarian is that guy, right?
If that's even sort of true.
I mean, the fact that Negreanu was saying it as if he thought it was true was, I mean, that's pretty strong.
Okay, well, maybe not the most legendary, but he is a legendary bum hunter.
Once it came out that he basically banned, you know, Art Papazian and...
Like Dan Zak.
Exactly. The really good players, essentially. And by the way, he can only ban them if Hustler lets him ban them. It isn't actually him.
I know, but he was taking advantage of a situation that was presented to him, which is he is bum hunting. There's no way around that.
Okay, that's fair.
He's trying to play against Nick Fertucci being the best other player at the table.
That is 100%
and play
correct.
For hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like, come on.
I don't really understand why Hustler decided to go along with that. They somehow thought that Garrett was their biggest draw.
Yes.
And I guess on one level he is.
He was.
But as we can see, like he hasn't been there for a year, and I feel like they're still doing pretty well. Maybe they're not doing as well, though. I don't really know. They had their $1 million game. I mean, they seem like they're doing...
I have no sense of it. And
yeah, me either.
Their $1 million game like attracted some better players. Like they got Tom Dwan and stuff like that. But I've always had the same gripe about Hustler and its ilk of the modern live stream poker. It's like... Instead of being seven pros and two whales, it's seven whales and two pros.
Correct.
And that's not interesting at all to me.
No, of course not. No, because it's just like a joke. It's just a joke to watch someone call a big three bet with 10-7 offsuit and stuff like that. It's like, there's nothing to be learned from this, right?
It's not good poker. It's just watching people gamble.
Right.
Watching
bad players get crushed slowly is really what it is, right? They may get lucky here and there, but clearly over time they have no chance. Like, not to call out anyone on Hustler Casino.
But
live.
You're going to
but like
right
Mike
now.
X, for example, is a guy who like feels like he is just like a little kid surrounded by a stampede of buffalo running right by him, and eventually someone's gonna knock him over and crush him to death, you know? Like there's a lot of that. By the way, these guys, the whales who are in these games, and maybe even the pros, are also getting taken advantage of because there's all these other cheating scams floating around all at the same time as several of them have come out in the last year or so.
You mean like with Rampage and stuff like that?
Rampage is one example. Mars is another where Mars was setting up the games.
We got to be careful of who we're naming because first we named the victim and then you named the perpetrator.
Oh, that's a great
point. So Rampage was the victim.
Thank you.
I want to make that clear.
Very good. Mars is the alleged perpetrator in fairness to Mars. Like, all we know is what we've read on Twitter, right? We don't actually know anything.
Yeah, we know nothing.
Right. So I'm not going to... But, you know, if you read that stuff, you might have a pretty strong opinion about it based on all the things that were said, and I certainly do. And then there was other stuff. Like, well, who was the one guy who quit for a little while and then finally came back? The really rich guy.
Alan Keating?
No, not him. Another one of the really rich guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he said like he felt like it was too shady and all that.
Yeah.
And then he eventually started playing again anyway. Right. But like, you know, when the 100 millionaires feel like the game is too shady, it's not a great spot. You know what I mean? It's not good.
Well, it all comes from the top, right? Nicky boy.
Yeah, it isn't always just the game itself, though. It's also it's things outside the game that's also happening, for sure.
Right,
but it all does come from the top.
It's a culture that's created and a type of person that's invited.
Yeah.
All of this stuff.
No, I mean, not to put too fine a point on it or to accuse anyone of anything, but like Nick Vertucci is straight up like...
He doesn't seem great.
I would not want to spend any real time with him in a business relationship.
No.
He actually might be super fun to play with at a poker table.
He might be, yeah.
Like, for sure. I'm not saying that. Although he does get super intense. But, yeah, that'd be funny. But, yeah, like, it feels a little bit like it's like a 9-year-old running things sometimes. And that's not great, you know? But they continue to be around and thrive, and they built something, and good for them.
And they created the environment for Garrett to do legendary bum hunting.
Yes, they did. They more than created it. They allowed it and continued to allow it for years, I guess.
How do you think Garrett would have done, you know, given the tools of the time on the original run of high stakes poker, where it was the seven pros and two whales instead of the seven whales and two pros?
Assuming that, like, yeah, given the tools of the time, so like Garrett's back understanding.
He's got his same brain, but he doesn't have his current knowledge. Yeah,
I think he would have done fine. Like, I assume Garrett is. Would have been better than Ted Forrest, for example, who played in that game, and Sammy Farhaw. And I would guess someone like Jennifer Harmon, though, like if we're doing, you know, based on the time, probably a better player, like better live and probably better period would be my guess. Daniel Agranu, better. Eric Lindgren, probably better. Probably. I don't know. David Benjamin, I don't know. Back then, it's hard to say. I think he'd probably make a little bit of money, is my guess. Like, you know.
But not be this like legend who wins every time and crushes people.
Right. He wouldn't be the... What's the name of the guy who was super using at Stones?
Russ Hamilton?
No. Mike, what's his name?
Possel. Possel God.
Mike Possel. That's right. The God. The GOAT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who never moves up from 2-5 for some reason.
He's got the second nuts. He blocks the nuts. The guy bets small into him on the river and he finds the fold. It's incredible. How does he know?
Life tells, man.
Yeah, his phone is right there.
Yep. So anyway, Garrett's back.
He's back front.
And to be very clear, I do not... I know some poker gossip about the high stakes people and what's going on with Hustler and all that shit. I know very little, though. I'm not, like, following it.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, is Garrett ever going to be allowed to play on Hustler Casino Live again, or is he just going to have to play in other streams when he comes back?
Nick Vertucci was actually asked this question on the Nick Vertucci Show.
Okay.
Which is a thing.
I know.
By one of the players, maybe Blake Check Ben, maybe someone else. I feel like it was Blake Check Ben, but I'm not sure. Who said, like, is Garrett ever going to be unbanned? And Nick first said he wasn't banned. And then when pushed back on by the player, Nick eventually said, okay, fine, he's banned right now. But, like, I hope at some time in the future he won't be. And I think they may have even tweeted somewhat recently that Garrett could play again if he wanted to. But I'm sure Garrett has no interest in ever playing there again.
I mean, there's so much competition now that has equal amounts of bums with equal amounts of money that Garrett doesn't need to play on Hustler Casino Live anymore.
Also, he probably feels like, you know, they really, like, in his opinion, threw him under the bus, like, multiple times.
Yeah.
You know?
It's probably a pretty frayed relationship with Vertucci.
I would think that they really don't like each other.
Also, him and Andy probably not doing great anymore after Garrett was like, okay, I'm not going to hold my breath anymore. I'm not going to fucking have to pretend Andy Stacks is a good player anymore.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes you just got to speak the truth, though, homie.
And I guess Garrett did it, but I wonder if he regrets that one, because I don't think Andy did anything to him. He's just like happened to be boiling in Garrett for a long time that he could never say that he thought Andy was a bad player.
Yeah, because it's part of, like, Andy was like the pro who he like allowed to play with him. Supposedly. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, this is such, what a burden to have to play with Andy, you know, from Garrett's point of view.
Right. Anyway, he's back. Let's see what he does.
Okay.
This was suggested by Don Adams, who is, I believe, a very long-line descendant of Sam Adams.
Oh. I was excited for where I thought you
were
going.
One of the founding fathers. Show some respect. You were excited and you're not excited now?
He was a beer maker. Sam Adams wasn't a founding father. Samuel Adams.
That's what I mean.
Oh, my God.
He was so good at founding, and you're showing no respect.
Do you mean John Adams?
I don't know, probably.
The second president of the United States, first vice president? Okay.
There's a lot of Adams.
Sam Adams is a different person.
They're the Kennedys before the Kennedys. They're all the same.
They have the same last name, and I'll give you that.
Yeah. Stephen Adams is one of them.
Yes.
The NBA player.
Good, good. Yeah. Also,
Patrick Antonius is one of them, because that's Antonius is Finnish for Adams.
I did not know that.
Now you know.
Do you know Don Adams is the name of famous TV actor from the 50s?
Great.
Don Adams.
Uh-huh.
In the TV show Get Smart, whose theme went like, sing it.
Bye.
It's actually pretty close.
Really?
Oh, that's from? Nope, that's a different one, I think. I don't know what that is anymore. That's one of those. I'm not sure if it gets smart. Who cares? We're moving on.
All right. So Don Adams, good job. You suggested this hand.
Don Adams, first timer.
Yeah, I believe first timer suggested on Discord. Our Discord link is in the description. You can suggest hands there. You can do other shit there.
Don Adams, you are no longer in Kuwait. You are fully formed, my friend. Welcome.
Wow, it's that easy to get fully formed?
That's all it takes.
Just one suggestion?
Yeah, you know. You come out of the cocoon and boom, you're flying.
That's nice. All right, so I believe this is a $400 big blind game. I didn't write down the blinds, but it doesn't really matter.
It's either 400 or 500. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Patrick Antonius is going to open the action. He's still handsome despite his age. He's got 160K in front of him.
How old is he anyway?
I mean, he's got to be in his mid-40s by now, right?
At least.
Yeah.
Yeah. He might even be 50.
He might be. He's got 160K.
Okay, so he's got a lot of blinds, at least 300.
That's how they do it.
Blinds.
Wait till you hear how much Garrett has. It's just like old times.
Yeah.
He has 9-8 of hearts. He's plus one. He makes it 1,200 off of 400 or 500 or whatever. 300 even. Who cares? Eric Person, one of the pros you mentioned earlier.
One of the good ones.
He has 207,000, jack 8 of spades, and calls in middle position. Then there's a guy named Curtis who I've never heard of before, but he is not a garbage human in this hand, whereas Eric Person is, even though you mentioned Eric Person and not Curtis.
Yes.
I don't know what that's about.
I was mentioning the good players.
Right, of course. Curtis has 137K.
Yep.
He's in the cutoff with two sevens and has the most straightforward call of all time.
Yeah. Super clean.
Garrett McAdelstein, which is what he changed his name to in the interim.
Is it because a way to make money while he wasn't playing poker?
He went full Irish for the sake of...
it's like an Ireland tourist board type of sponsorship? I thought it was like a McDonald's thing. My bad.
No. If you go to Ireland and you go to a bus stop, you will see his face. It's like,
wait.
Irish tobacco. Hold I'm Garrett Adelstein. McAdelstein.
So the Irish Tourism Board is advertising inside Ireland with Garrett Irish people.
But they're not.
Visit Ireland.
No.
You'll never leave.
He's advertising tobacco. Irish tobacco.
Yeah, no, I got it. But Irish tobacco.
Yeah, but it's because the Irish Tourism Board.
Do the Irish.
It's because the Irish Tourism Board is much like the United States mail system, where the USPS is a government entity, but they have to make their own money. They're not funded by taxpayers.
Sure.
Similar to the Irish Tourism Board. They gotta find that green somewhere, which is probably the color of their money, and that's selling tobacco.
Right.
So they got Garrett McAdelstein to sell tobacco.
Give us just a one sentence of an Irish accent. Say you spoiled my Lucky Charms, but with an Irish accent.
You spoiled me Lucky Charms.
Not terrible. Not terrible.
Why don't you do it?
You spoiled me Lucky Charms.
No, you went Scottish. You always go Scottish.
I do. I 100% of the time I go Scottish.
You're a haggis boy. All right. Here we go.
Okay.
So sevens for courtesy calls. Garrett Adelstein has, of course, $654,000 in front of him because that's just what he does.
He has the table covered by so much, it's weird. But this is, as you said, this is normal behavior.
He has ace-10 of spades.
Yeah.
He is on the button, I believe. I didn't write that down, but I'm pretty sure he is on the button.
Yeah, it looks like he is.
This is a pretty clear call most of the time when Antonius opens under the gun, right? But I guess Garrett thinks, I'm Garrett, and we're deep enough that I'm going to 3-bet.
I think you said Antonius open plus one, but same
plus one,
same
similar,
point.
Very similar.
Yeah, normally this would be a call with all these people, and it plays well multi-way, we're in position, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but Garrett's going to 3-bet to 6K.
Okay.
What are some of the benefits, and what are some of the drawbacks of doing this?
Benefits, I mean, we're so deep, and guys like Patrick is so deep, I think we almost never take it down right now. So I don't think that's a benefit.
It's a pure, like, I think that this is slightly better than Patrick's opening range plus one type of thing.
I don't think that's what it's about. I think it's more about, this is the kind of hand that can win a big pot, and by taking control of the pot, you know, when it wins, you know, if I make the nut flush, I'm going to build up this pot really big sometimes. Also, we can make the nut straight. I don't know, man. I mean, if we can't take it down right now, it doesn't feel like there's a huge amount of benefits to bloating the pot. We're in position, but that doesn't have anything to do with the hand itself. That's just where we're sitting.
Well, I think it might be a little bit of a keeping the options open type of thing.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, when you just call here, when there's already two callers, you're pretty capped. Like, you never have aces almost ever.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, you don't have aces, you don't have kings, you don't have queens, you don't have jacks.
Right.
You sometimes have 10, sometimes you don't. You can have, like, ace-jack, but probably not even that much ace-queen. So, yeah, that's for sure.
So I think it helps uncap you. That's nice.
But wouldn't you be very concerned? I would be very concerned. Let me say it this way. If I were to make it, so he makes it 6,000, right?
Yeah, over 1,200.
Right. When we're this deep and everyone's this deep, I would be concerned that we get no folds, and now we're playing a hand that could have dominated aces. We could be a dominated ace against Patrick's range specifically.
Yeah.
Patrick can also 4-bet and just knock us out. Or put us have way more money in than we want to with this hand. Way, way, way more. Like, we may end up putting 40,000 in with this. Maybe we just fold if he makes it like 30,000.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're something folding.
Like, but if he makes it like 27, are we just throwing it away? I don't think so. We're in position. We're deep.
SPR is not going to be ideal.
It's going to be bad. I think we should fold it. Maybe we are. That sort of sucks to have to fold a hand that's beautiful.
Well, or maybe we Garrett's realizing that, like, he can do this because he doesn't get 4-bet that often.
Yeah.
So it's like, the times I get 4-bet, okay, I have to fold a hand that's nice sometimes.
Yeah.
But the benefits outweigh the costs.
That's fair. But I'd be very concerned that we're going four ways to this flop, and essentially it's a protected pot now anyway, with just a bloated protected pot. So we really need to start flop. We need to, like, flop some spades pretty badly. And then we kind of needed to do that anyway. We win a lot more if we actually make a flush now, but we don't make a flush very often. I don't know, man. I'm not in love with this.
Yeah, I get it. I
like the keeping the options open. That's the
something
best
about
reason.
It. Something about it does intrigue me. It's just kind of like more, maybe a more fundamental idea of, like, when I'm in position against the field and I have a very good hand, I should always put more money in than is already in when I'm playing against a field of players who have relatively wide ranges.
Is this a very good hand?
It's not an elite hand. It's a very good hand.
I feel like this is such a clean call. But, I mean, you could argue that, like, all the worst suited aces are clean calls.
Yeah.
And that this could be, like, now this is a suited ace with another Broadway card. And we could
Broadway. Play. Yeah. You know, that's a big difference.
Yeah, for sure. We can make the nuts two different ways at least.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess there's more ways. Like, quads, top.
The more easy nuts. Yeah. Anyway, he does it.
Okay.
Because he's Garrett.
Okay. I would like the sizing to be bigger then. I'd like to have a chance to fold out someone. I feel like there's 0% to fold out anybody.
You're probably right. You know, but let's talk about Antonius's decision here.
Okay.
So if you're up against a guy like Garrett, who you must be somewhat aware is capable of having this type of hand in his range, what's your 4-betting range as Antonius? You obviously have to change it against Garrett versus the average player that you're playing against in this spot.
Yeah. I mean, I think Garrett's the kind of guy we can have 4-bet bluffs against.
Of course.
So that's already a start. There's some guys you probably just don't 4-bet bluff.
Yeah.
Because once they 3-bet you, they just have such a strong range that there's no point in ever doing anything. so we want to have... So some of our bluffs could be the obvious, like, ace-5 suiteds of the world. Just the question is just how many ace-wheel suiteds are we bluffing with, I think, is...
Well, I want to ask the question about the type of hand that Antonius has, too.
Okay.
9-8 of hearts. Because if Garrett is doing that, this kind of depolarized three betting thing.
Yeah, it's called linear.
Sorry.
It's okay. Both are good.
My bad.
I'm just letting you know, giving you a little more vocab.
I don't need any more.
You're unstudied. You know this. How could you know that you were unstudied? That's like, if you're crazy, could you know that you're crazy? You can't know. You'd think you were sane. If you haven't studied, you wouldn't know that what's the study. Okay, you wouldn't know. Please continue.
Now that we've covered that, we'll move on. This type of hand, 9-8 of hearts, certainly can flop well. That's a good argument for just calling with this hand.
Yeah.
But if we have a lot more fold equity than we normally do, and Garrett's going to have a lot of hands like ace-queen suited and stuff like that, this hand does okay against those hands if we get called.
Do we have a lot more fold equity than we normally do? Garrett's okay. In position. We're going to have to really make it big to fold out a majority of his
By what we normally do, I mean that if you put a random player in Garrett's seat and they made it 6K.
Ah, for sure we do there, yes. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure what Garrett's even doing with this hand if we make it a 4-bet. We suspect he's folding, but he does a lot of surprising things in this hand.
Yeah, if we made it 25K plus, it feels like it would be a clear mistake for him not to fold.
Yeah, but I think one of the things guys like Garrett try and do, especially when they're in position, is not fold to 4-bets when they have a reasonable 3-betting hand. You know what I mean? Like something that isn't a total bluff.
Is this a reasonable 3-betting hand in this scenario?
I think it is barely reasonable.
Yeah.
You know, like we're just there. Like, I prefer a call or a much bigger 3-bet. I guess coming back to your question, though, as Antonius, there's other factors than just can we get Garrett to fold right now? There's two other factors I think that are important. One is there are other players in this hand. If we call, I would assume everyone's calling. We have a hand that plays really well multi-way. It's out of position, but it plays really well multi-way. And because there's four of us.
It plays better multi-way in like tournament scenarios where it's like 60 blinds effective, and if you lose with a flush, it's just like, so be it.
That is true. That's a fair point, actually. We can't put too much money in with this hand. We can't put 400 blinds in with this hand. That would not work out. But we know that as Patrick, too.
Yeah.
We don't have to play it super aggressively. We could get in some weird spots if we make a flush, bet the river, and get raised. We'll have to make some decisions. Okay. But one thing is, like, we can set this up to play multi-way. We know by calling, we're effectively closing the action almost always. Like, it'd be so shocking for Curtis or Person to suddenly come out of nowhere with a 4-bet of their own, right?
Yes.
And we can close the action knowing that more money is going to be coming in. So we're giving ourselves incredible odds to call and effectively close the action. That's pretty cool.
There's obviously a lot of good arguments for calling. I think we want to expand the 4-betting range beyond just the obvious value and the obvious ace wheel bluffs against a player like Garrett.
Hmm.
We want to throw him off a little bit, you know?
Yeah. I mean, this doesn't have any blockers in it, which is not as good.
But if you're not going to use just the ace wheel bluffs, how are you going to find blockers?
I mean, you could have a king in your hand and be a blocker.
King, what?
King, jack off, king nine suited, stuff like king eight suited, which are the hands I think Patrick's probably opening all those hands. He could turn some of those into, like, a king eight suited is kind of a pretty good.
I like king eight suited as a
because it's such
bluff.
You don't want to call with that hand. Like, no, that's I can't ever call, but I could consider bluffing sometimes. So that's not too bad anyway. King jack isn't that bad either. King jack off specifically. King jack suited is too good to, I think, turn into a 4-bet.
Maybe.
You don't really want to call with king jack off, but it blocks a lot of stuff. The jack has some blocker value, too. A little bit.
Tiny bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway.
Anyway.
Antonius does the normal thing and calls.
Yeah. Well, let's remember also, we're really deep, and we only have to put in $4,800, and we get to maintain although the stack to pot is getting not great if those other guys call, too. It still gives us a fair amount of depth against someone like Garrett. And because there's four players, Garrett's not going to auto c-bet everything the way if we are heads up. So there's that too.
And between Person calling the first time and it coming back to him, must have realized he had to take a shit because he folds jack eight of spades.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
I mean, somehow he knows that his spades are dominated. It makes no sense to me why he would call 1200 and then fold here where he knows he's effectively closing the action too.
Yeah.
Like, seems like really, it's like he got a phone call or something.
Yeah.
It's very strange. As Patrick, I'd be a little disappointed to lose Eric.
Yeah.
By the way, that's another reason maybe just to call is to let Eric stay in the pot.
Hey, by the way, Eric had us dominated, so maybe that's not a good reason. Huh? Ever think about that?
The point is that Eric is capable of putting a lot of money in.
I know.
I know you know.
Curtis, of course, calls with two sevens.
Yep.
He didn't get a phone call. And the pot is 20K. So we have ace 10 of spades for Garrett in position as the three better. Antonio says the original opener has 9-8 of hearts, and Curtis in between them has 2-7s. 20K in the pot.
Okay.
3-4-8 rainbow. 1 spade, 1 heart. So pretty good flop for both Antonius and Curtis.
Yeah.
Especially Antonius.
Nothing really going on for Garrett here. We got 1 spade.
So Antonius and Curtis both check.
Yeah.
Should Garrett be betting?
Let's think about it. It's not a wildly connected board. I know there's the 3 and the 4 there together, but it's not wildly connected, right? If it was 8-5-6, I would say definitely not. He should not be betting. 8-4-3, there's not that many straight stuff going on. There's a little bit more. And the fact that it's a rainbow, we actually have 2 back doors plus the overs. I think it's fine to bet here once we had raised. I think that was part of the plan. I think we should bet. Also, it's all, we're 3-handed, not 4-handed. Yes. I say yes. What do you think?
I think it's a clear mistake not to bet.
Great.
Like, obvious mistake when the 4 of spades is out there for us not to bet. It would be foolish.
I mean, if it was the 5-6-8 with the 5 of spades, would you still want to bet?
Less.
Okay.
I think I could justify a bet with the...
You have 2 back doors. You actually have the backdoor straight draw with the 6 out there.
You could justify the bet, but this one's getting through more than on that one.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think it's very reasonable to check if it's 5-6 with 1 spade, but yeah. Okay, good.
So Garrett bets 10K into 20K.
Okay, classic, that seems fine.
Classic half pot.
Should fold out like king, queen, and stuff like that, right?
Yep. Patrick calls. What else is he going to do with top pair, no kicker? He has a backdoor flush draw, too. I guess you could raise, but it would be odd.
Yeah.
It would just be pure equity denial, obviously. You're never getting a better hand to fold.
I mean, you're trying to knock Curtis's equity out and hope that Garrett has ace, king, or ace, queen kind of hand, not an overpair, or if he has an overpair that we're going to now turn our hand into a bluff, which is what we'd be doing on turn and river, right?
Yeah.
If he calls, we're almost always behind.
And Curtis is now in a spot that I never quite know exactly what is right to do in a cash game. I've been in many times, and we all have, where he has 2 sevens, the 3-better has bet again.
The other guy called.
And the other guy called, and it's just such a clean board for sevens. There's just 1 over card.
I'm pretty inclined just to fold, not just because we're losing right now a fair amount, but also because by the time we get to showdown, we're losing a lot more than we're losing right now.
Yeah, that's what I typically do. But when we're playing against Garrett and Antonius, you know, the ranges are a bit wider.
I mean, sometimes Garrett has ace-king and sometimes Antonius has sixes, right?
Is there an argument for a raise out of Curtis here?
Just to deny equity?
Pure equity denial, yeah.
The problem is Garrett has something. No, sorry. Patrick has something,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
And Patrick can have nines and tens and jacks and queens and a set of eights.
Yeah, he can.
And 5-6, which is a straight draw that isn't folding.
But we block that coming in, so.
We do.
We'd be pretty happy with
5-6. We wouldn't mind it. The thing is, like, we just can't see. We can't see it, so then he could bluff us maybe later if he wanted to. It's an interesting idea. I don't know, man. I don't, like, Would Patrick call Garrett's bet if Patrick had sixes here? Let's actually ask the question. I think he would.
Yes, I do.
Okay. So we can be ahead, and we can raise to deny equity, and also even when called, sometimes be ahead a little bit.
Patrick could also have hands like ace-3, ace-4, yeah. ace-5, and ace-deuce suited.
Yep. He absolutely can. But a lot of the times we're just behind, and we're just turning our hand into a bluff.
Yeah.
You know, or we quickly find out that we're going to need to turn our hand into a bluff to keep going.
Well, I just wanted I don't like raising. I just wanted to explore other options. I get, like, folding just feels like the best option, but
it does.
It sucks.
It sucks. You know, we're three-handed. Like, it's basically set it or forget it for the sevens, unless we flop like an open-ender or something, you know? Like, it's mostly set it or forget it.
Yeah.
And it's just the deal. I mean, we're deep. There's a lot of money to be won. You don't want to put yourself in a spot where you put in money now, can't get the folds, and now either you don't know where you are, you're often behind, and when you're not behind, there's a lot of equity out there against you anyway. You're never going to know where you are either, unless you actually turn a seven.
Yeah, I would love to just fold here, even though it sucks.
I think it's a fold.
You're just set mining the whole way, basically, unless you get like the 3-4-5 type of flop or the 4-5-6 type of flop.
We're getting 4-1. Do we really win this pot 20% of the time if we call? I don't think so.
Yeah, probably not. But he calls.
Okay.
I think that's justifiable.
It's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
Also, we're closing the action, and we can fold to any turn. If we don't improve or have a good thing happen on the turn, we can always fold to turn action. Like, a lot of times, it's going to check through on the turn, and maybe even check through on the river, and we just win.
Yep.
I don't know if it's enough, but it's going to happen sometimes.
All right, let's get weird. The pot is $50,100.
Okay.
It's actually, yeah, $50,100.
Good enough.
The turn is the six of hearts. So that does improve Curtis. He now has a gut shot.
Patrick
has now a flush draw to go along with top pair.
Hello.
Garrett has turned a terrible card.
Nothing.
It's awful. Not only does it often improve his opponent's hands, and it did improve both of their hands.
It did.
But it's not a spade. It's not a 10. It's not anything that brings him a wheel draw. It's nothing good. It's
nothing.
Yeah. So they both check, Patrick and yep. Curtis. I get it. Garrett's going to fucking bet.
Yeah.
He's going to bet 35K. Jonathan.
Yeah.
Tell me why. Ain't nothing but a heartache.
What?
I'm doing Backstreet Boys.
Ain't nothing. Got it. Here's why. I think what he's doing, and I'm not going to endorse this unless we really get to somewhere with this, but I think what he's trying to do is he's saying to himself, okay, Patrick has an overpair to the board. But he doesn't have aces or kings, or he would never, maybe not even queens. He never has aces or kings because he never would have just called letting those other two guys in preflop. Like, there's no fucking way.
Yeah.
Patrick may not even ever have queens because of that specifically. Patrick may rather four bet fold queens than call with queens and go four ways to the flop with it, you know?
Maybe.
So we can still rep this monster overpair. And Patrick, just with a guy behind him too, is just in a horrible spot. With like nines and tens and stuff like that. Like, what's Patrick supposed to do but fold, right? So that's part one. Part two is now Curtis has to have like 9-8 of spades or something, right? Where he has essentially top pair and or nines himself, but something like that, and is feeling the pressure and doesn't want to get into a $500,000 pot with us. That's all I got.
Garrett's, man. He's really trying to dance between the raindrops here.
That's what it feels like. It's like this is just not the card to do this on. Like, a king comes, you can bet.
Right? Even if it's a six that is a spade, you can bet, right? Like,
yes.
You're not going to get it through that often on this card against two opponents, now, but at least you have massive equity.
Right. You take your equity, which is 20-some-odd%, all the spades, plus sometimes you hit your ace or your 10 and it's good.
Yeah.
In fact, it would be good with these as long as they're not hearts. You add that to the fold equity, and now we got something. Now that's enough to make this a positive play.
Right.
But without the actual equity in the hand, we can easily be drawing dead here.
Yeah.
Easily. And as it is, we're drawing to four outs.
Yeah.
Like, this is just a terrible spot. I'm really surprised he bets.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying in my mind to justify it because I know Garrett is, like, known for these types of plays where he just does aggressive moves that people aren't willing to do.
Yes.
But I just don't see how this can possibly be profitable.
Is this a keep your options open bet as well?
I mean, do, like, we need to keep our options open at this point on this board against two opponents?
I don't think
in
we
a three
do.
Bet pot?
On this turn card? Again, the turn is the six of hearts, making it 3, 8, 4, 6, two hearts, one spade, one club. Like, we have the ace 10 of spades. We got nothing happening here. Like, what are we even repping when we bet this card? Are we repping 8-8? Which we three bet pre? I don't even know what we're repping. I got nothing on what we're repping.
I mean, he's trying to say, like, I am so willing to go for value with everything that I could have aces and kings.
Right. But that also puts us in a real, like, so does that mean Garrett or Curtis could just raise us with impunity on the turn if we're going for value with aces and kings?
So we make this play with aces and kings until they prove that they can.
Yeah, right. You know?
We make them show us that they can do it, and then we change our place.
I guess we're on a stream, so we'll get that information in 30 minutes. Isn't like we're going to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels very ambitious.
It feels super ambitious.
Anyway, Patrick Antonius cannot fold now. He
nope.
has top pair and a flush draw. He doesn't feel good about it, I'm guessing.
I don't think he can feel... Well, he's got to feel, like, fine about it, basically, yeah. right? Like, you know, well, I'm rarely ahead right now, but... I've got ways to win. A 9 might do it. An 8 will likely do it. A heart will almost certainly do it. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm Patrick Antonius.
Look
have
at
you
me.
Have you looked at my cheeks?
So Antonius calls.
Yeah. He just has to.
And this is another tough spot for Curtis.
Is it?
You think it's an easy fold?
I think it's just an easy fold. It sucks. We have
picked
a gutter.
Up equity.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It just doesn't matter that we have equity.
He like, folds.
What
he
are
folds.
We doing?
He's out of there and he's going to regret it.
We don't get there nearly enough for it to matter.
You get there this time, though. 120K in the pot, the river's the five of clubs. Curtis would have made the straight.
No! Why?
Are you doing Australian?
I'm not sure what I'm doing.
No.
Why?
Yeah, well, that part, I don't know what that is. But this Australian people, as you know, you listening Australians, you add R's to the end of no.
It's, you know, this is how you knew that James Earl Jones is Australian.
Because he was like, nerd.
Yeah, exactly. At the end of that movie, yeah. When he sat up. Well, he didn't sit up, but when Darth Vader sits up and says that,
yeah,
you can clearly hear the R. At the
end. So 120K in this pot.
Okay.
Antonius has less than a pot back. He has 111K.
Yeah.
And so we have four to a straight on the board. We have three of hearts, eight of clubs, four of spades, six of hearts, five of clubs.
Any seven makes a straight.
Any seven makes a straight. No flushes have come in. Garrett has ace, ten of spades. It's not a good hand.
No.
Patrick checks. Just, of course. Like, please just check back. I know I lose a lot when you check back, but
sometimes I win.
Sometimes you
just could have ace, king of hearts, and you just like, you give up, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Garrett is going to do it.
Why?
He moves in.
He moves in? For how much?
111K and 120.
Wow.
All right, so.
This is very un-Garrett-like. Garrett usually has a relevant blocker when he moves in.
He has no relevant blockers.
Sure doesn't.
At least he doesn't have a heart in his hand. I guess that's good.
Okay, yep, that is good. Okay, he doesn't have any hearts. Anything else you got for me? he unblocks the flush draws that called the turn.
He blocks
for $35,000, by the way.
He blocks 10-7 suited.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess he blocks the nuts. But who has the nuts here? Garrett never has the
nuts. No, the nuts is 9-7 suited.
Oh, God. He just blocks 10-7
suited. He just blocks specifically 10-7
suited. I just assumed it had to be the nuts. No. You're right. You're right. Good Lord.
So, yeah, this just feels like banana games. Like, we're just going to put in all the chips because I am aggressive type of thing.
Here's the only thing I have, and I said this to you just before we started recording, because my take on this is also, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
But the only thing I have is this. When you are against a really good player, and they know that you're a really good player too, and they tell a terrible story where they make a big bet on the river, they almost always have.
Yeah.
Because they know they're telling a terrible story and they know you're more inclined to call.
Yeah.
So Garrett's like going one level deeper with this, and he's like, I'm going to tell such a bad story, such an absurd story that I almost have to have like A7 suited now. Like, how could I not have A7 suited and play it like this? Don't I have to have A7 of hearts? Like, that's what I'm repping. That's like the only thing I can come up with because it's such a crazy bad story. He's like, Patrick can't call because he knows I know I'm telling a bad story. So he's not going to call. It's like when I tell a good story, that's when Patrick might call.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter when your opponent's range is a lot stronger than yours. I mean, Antonius has a lot of very strong hands on this board.
He's trying to fold out everything that isn't a straight, I think.
Well, I don't think that would have happened because Antonius is tanking. He's going deep into the tank with 8-9 of hearts, which is, by the way, one pair. The only relevant good blocker is that he blocks 9-7.
Well, you're saying one pair, but like in truth, like is Garrett ever moving in with a set here?
Maybe.
I think it's unlikely. When Patrick goes call on this board with a guy behind him both times, Patrick absolutely can have sevens.
Here. Having two hearts is not great for Antonius, yet he tanks anyway.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's fair.
So what's he doing with the good hand? You know, he's...
Well, he does block the nuts with nines, with the nine.
Yeah.
It's a terrible, terrible story, I think, is what's going on.
So I think the whole story thing doesn't really hold water.
Well, I don't know. He doesn't, like, call.
No, he ultimately does fold. It takes a while.
But he's sitting there, I think, being like, what the fuck is this? How can you ever...
You don't have aces. You don't have kings. Like,
you would never move in with those hands.
Yeah.
You have A7 suited. You have A7 of hearts exactly. Like, what other hands bet the turn that could be doing this? A7 of hearts, at least I can get my head around, if I'm Patrick Antonius, as a hand that sort of makes sense.
Yeah.
What other hands even make sense for value here that have a 7 in them?
Just random King-7 suited. I don't know.
Yeah, King-7 of hearts. Yeah. Right. Same kind of a thing. Okay, and does Garrett have sets here? He three bet, but look at the board. It's got to be eights and lower. I'm not saying he can never three bet with any pocket pair, but three ways.
It's unlikely.
It's four ways, and he bets to such a he raises to such a size preflop that he knows he's essentially everyone's calling, even though somehow person has to go take a dump and doesn't call. Like if we don't really have fold equity, why would we ever raise pocket fives here or pocket right. fours? We or just
pocket,
wouldn't do it.
Or pocket sevens.
Or pocket eights. Yeah. But pocket sevens is the best example, right? It feels like they're all calls. As you said, Curtis has the easiest call in the world with pocket sevens, right? So like we're not really even repping a set here. We're not repping fucking shit except a seven of hearts, maybe king seven of hearts.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately Antonius does smell that this is off, but he's like so low in his distribution that he decides to fold.
Yeah, the problem is, what is he calling with on the turn? It's got to be of the group of hands that get here on the river, though, right? So, like, he's often going to have two hearts in his hand. That's one of the ways to get here on the river that's most
true,
likely.
But he has plenty of, like, two pair and set combos and some significant straight combos to go along with that, too.
Yeah, I mean, does that matter, though? Isn't Garrett just super polarized here? So regular distribution doesn't have any value, so now it's just about trying to decide, like, what relevant blockers do we have or not have, right? I mean, again, hearts.
You don't want to have hearts.
Although, really, it's just the eight of hearts. No,
it's,
I guess not just
it's really
the
more
hearts.
The nine of hearts.
Sorry, that's what I meant, of course. I mean, the unpaired card.
Yeah.
Maybe not as much in this case, but yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I get that it's just not a good enough hand to call with. I kind of understand that. But it's a very ambitious move by Garrett.
If we had a set as Patrick, which we really can have here, right?
We're calling.
We're just going to call.
Yeah.
We're just going to be like, maybe Garrett loses his mind and goes for it with pocket four sometimes. The problem would be actually, as Patrick is sitting there thinking, maybe he's like, is Garrett ever bluffing with a better hand? Because maybe he is right now. Is Garrett like somehow taking two tens and turning into a bluff because he didn't know what to do?
Seems unlikely. It feels like he's just going to tap the table.
He should just tap the table for sure. Yeah.
And I kind of want to fight back a little bit on the whole like regular distribution doesn't matter thing. I think it's just a way to delineate when you call and when you fold so that you're not overcalling or overfolding. So you can use it for that purpose beyond the like actual gameplay purposes.
Sure. You absolutely can do that, right? But against... I mean, we just try and I guess it's a way to do it, but usually there's a bunch of hands that have relevant blockers. So once we remove all of those, I guess that's part of how we do it.
That's why I'm saying I would call with sets. You know, like I'm using that at least. The line is at least set. You know, it's at least further than that.
Well, I would want to give. I guess I would want to with a set. Let's say I have a set of eights here. And I've been slow playing it the whole way, right? Not impossible. We go check, call, check, call, check.
Yeah,
and he moves in. I'd be like, he should only have a seven or nothing here. But ever in the world does he have a set and he's going for value with a pot-sized bet on the river? I guess it's possible.
Yeah.
Maybe he's slightly overplaying it, or maybe he's trying to get, you know, really thin value from me. And guess what? I've top set. Fuck you.
Yeah.
You know? Not completely impossible. So that's a reason to call with those kinds of hands, too, going back to your distribution argument, right?
Yeah.
That we actually might beat some value.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
Barely, but maybe sometimes.
But I think against a wild card like Garrett, the delineation of where you call and fold is more important.
It's really hard to figure out where that line is. What are we supposed to call with and what are we supposed to fold?
I don't know. We have to choose a percentage of hands that we got here with that we call with and then like figure out where they are.
We're getting 2-1. We're actually getting better than 2-1 on our call. So we don't have to be right that often.
Yeah.
Like just to break even, we have to be right like 30% of the time.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So that means we can be wrong 70% of the time and it's completely fine.
It doesn't feel good.
It doesn't feel good. Now... That's without taking into account how often we think... Well, no, that's just true, right? 30% is what we're looking for. We want to make our call correct at least 30% of the time to make this okay. Hopefully a little better than that.
Hopefully more. Yeah. We want it to be profitable.
The thing is, Patrick, that we have to try and understand, and I don't know how we're supposed to know this, is how often is Garrett bluffing? Like, just how often... he hasn't played in a really long time. Like, what's he doing here? Is he trying to do something showy for the cameras? Does he just have it somehow?
He's trying to grease those bluff wheels, get them back into working order.
Yeah. Well... I think you're probably right that we're just sitting there. We're like, I just have so many better hands, and I don't like having two hearts in my hand. I guess I fucking fold.
Yeah.
But it's so... And Garrett's got to know this is a terrible story, and he's still moving in.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't he just know that? He's got to know that. That's another reason to fold.
This is why Garrett got to set lineups on Hustler Casino Live. Because he's a thinking player who still makes plays like this.
Mm.
I don't know if anybody else is a thinking player who's, like, good, who's going to make plays like this.
I mean, I don't know either.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are some, but this is a very, this, this could just be a leveling war too with between these two guys, where they've had
maybe
other clashes. Because Garrett hasn't been streaming. I don't know. Does that mean he hasn't been playing at all? Because if he's been playing, he's probably played with Patrick in some other
games.
I have
no idea.
Yeah. I have no idea either.
And
I'm copying
Patrick
you.
Antonius has no idea that he should have called.
Patrick probably knows by now that he's listening to this podcast. You got to call that if you know what he has, Patrick.
Yeah, next time.
Only if you know what he has. Otherwise, a
fold you should probably fold.
A fold is fine.
But if you could see the cards.
You know, we never even talked about the possibility. We never even raised the specter of... Should Patrick do? Could Patrick raise the turn? We never even talked about it.
No,
he has top pair. He has a flush draw. Garrett's betting. There's a guy behind him.
It feels like no.
It feels like we should call.
Yeah, there we go. Fixed it.
We did it, everybody. Okay,
another breakdown.
We raised this back.
Successfully done. Hey. First time, no rehearsal. I say fuck the second take. Night is baby scratching on vinyls until the record break. Mr. One Night is all I need. No second.